We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
FM News Talk 97.1 On Demand Audio.
Let's get to Stacey, please. Shout the battle cry. You'll never stop me. I'm a warrior. We witness it to every day, don't we, Stacey Washington? That's the truth.
That's all we can do is just try to survive in the age of Trump and Trump derangement syndrome.
Wow. It's complete derangement syndrome. It doesn't matter what is done or said. I'm interested to get your take on this. I had John Shimkus on the radio yesterday, the congressman there from the 15th district over in Illinois, and he's the one that claims that he has quit his support for the president largely over what's happened in Syria. Now, as a veteran and somebody who's observed this situation, how do you feel about the president's decision over there?
Okay, so I know this is going to be a shock to some people who, if you've listened to me from the very beginning up until now, this is a bit of a metamorphosis, but I have good reasoning behind it. It's because I've spent a lot of time on the radio, just like you, Mark, interviewing people who've actually spent their adult lives studying the Middle East and Syria, the Kurds, all of the different things that are at play here. And what we have is a NATO ally going to invade Syria, and all of the Kurds, it's not like 100% of the Kurds are on one side. Some of the Kurds are fighting with Syria. That just happened. Some of them want their own country away from Turkey, and they want to break away. So this isn't a simple issue that you just say, oh, you know what, Mark? Here's two sentences, and that explains the whole morass. But where do I stand on it? Well, I tend to allow myself some space to understand both sides of any issue. But on this one, I tend to just boil it down to, why are we there? It's a nice, easy question. And I haven't been able to find anyone who wants us to still be there who can tell us why we should. Why we should expend our precious capital, meaning the blood of our servicemen and women, to be in a space where Turkey is going into Syria. We've already accomplished our mission there. We quote-unquote wanted to destroy ISIS. We've done that. We've ended their caliphate. They are no more. And the countries that the ISIS soldiers come from don't want to receive them back. And so we're supposed to stay there so we can be basically a big, huge American jail for countries that don't want to take responsibility for their own citizens. I don't think so. The other issue that I have is the president said when he was on the campaign trail that he was going to lessen the number of foreign entanglements that the United States military was involved in and in some of the senseless wars that we're engaged in that do not have a congressional authorization. So not going into Syria with Turkey or preventing them from going into Syria or arming the Kurds or being with the Kurds, in other words, picking yet another failed side, is exactly what he said he was going to do on the campaign trail. So if you voted for Donald Trump, awesome, he's following through on promises. If you didn't, this should not shock you because this is what he told you he was going to do. So I think it's actually pretty logical. And I think there's just one more question after why should we be there? We've been there for 30 years. We've not won much. This is one situation where we have actually accomplished a goal, a stated goal that Congress didn't get to ratify. So what reason do we have to stay beyond what we said we were going to do? And yeah. I haven't found anybody who can answer either one of those questions.
Yeah, well stated. I had Jim Carafano on last week. He's trying to describe the fact that it's not a huge policy change given the fact that there's no congressional approval for being there in the first place. There are about 200 troops involved. John Shimkus says that, you know, having the 200 troops there was the equivalent of having people massed on the border in the DMZ. It prevents North Korea from coming across. When we had U.S. troops stationed in Germany, it prevented Russia from coming across. His argument is that just our presence was important to our allies there. And I'm like, but as you pointed out, the mission was accomplished. And all we were doing was standing there as a placeholder, and the president was having to write letters to the families of troops that were being killed and trying to explain why they gave their life for the country, and he couldn't.
Well, and so it's true. If you put American resources on the ground anywhere in the world, that comes with the full force and credit of the United States military and the U.S. government, and that is a deterrent. And you're right, it sounds crazy, but 200 troops does accomplish that. But is that what we're really, is that still a part of what we went there for? And that's where I go to. And the other thing I have to say about what the president said, it's not the same thing. I'm not trying to make an equivalency here, but I did serve on the U.S. Honor Guard when I was on active duty in the Air Force down at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. And one of the toughest things I've ever had to do was when it was my turn to bear the folded flag that we removed from the draping of the casket and hand it to a family member. And I remember the couple of times I did it, you basically march back over and then it's time for the 21-gun salute. And I would just be fighting back the tears because the air would be so thick with emotion because it's a funeral.
Right.
And so these are people who've given their lives. And these are people who have a choice to go into the military and offer themselves up on behalf of our Constitution and this great country. So it's not that we pity them because they didn't know what they were getting into. Every service member goes in with their eyes wide open. But it doesn't change the fact that sometimes I feel like they're dying for something that we can't.
Whoop, did we lose her? Stacey, you there?
I'm still here, yeah.
Oh, sorry. So your phone cut out. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's wrong to me when we don't have an explanation or a clear-cut goal as to what we're working for, the reason that people are giving their lives.
Yes.
They know why they're doing it, but we want to have a clear-cut reason why they're doing it. And their family members should never feel as if their son or daughter died and it's not really a good reason. And there's no quote fingers in that. Mm-hmm. You really want to have a valid reason why your child gave their life for this country. The president has made an excellent point, and we should think about that.
That's a good point. Stacey, a great common sense as usual. We appreciate you bringing it to the show. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.